Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's good to see everyone out. If you have your Bible with you, I wish you would turn to Hebrews chapter 12. That's where we will begin our lesson in just a moment, Hebrews chapter 12. You know, we're going to be talking about a lot of things this year that are things that are going to be associated with this local church specifically. We're talking about building a building. We're talking about doing all those things. There are going to be plans and meetings and conversations, and we're going to have to talk about money and contribution and all these things. Well, in all of that, it can be really easy. And I tried to address this a couple of weeks ago with my lesson entitled Spiritual Things, How Physical Things Can Be Spiritual Things. But I thought we would kind of, I always at the beginning of the year, try and do lessons that I think are kind of themes for the year. And this right here is the one that I'm going to go with today. Focus on Jesus. Because as important as this congregation is, as important as building a new auditorium are, those things are not Jesus. We're not converted to this particular congregation. We're not converted to a particular kind of religion or Christianity. We are converted to Jesus Christ. And it is Jesus Christ that deserves our loyalty, the preeminence in our lives. It is Jesus on whom we should focus. And this is what the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Now, of course, Hebrews chapter 12 comes after chapter 11. That's just the kind of insight you get from me. Hebrews chapter 11 is a hall of fame of faith. So what the writer is saying is, as great as Abraham, as great as Moses, as great as all these men and women were who lived and died by faith, what they should really do is provide kind of a way for us to be encouraged. So we look out and we see all these other people who lived in faith that should encourage us. So how do we do that? Therefore, Hebrews 12, verse 1, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So what the writer is saying here is, imagine the great things these people did. God is not asking us to divide the Red Sea. God is not asking us to leave Ur of the Chaldees. So he's saying, you can do it. And you should not let anything drag you down. Don't let sin in your life keep you from being the faithful person you need to be. So after he tells us what not to do, he tells us how to accomplish that in the next verse. Looking to Jesus. How do I overcome sin? How do I carry through with the righteous things in my life? Look to Jesus. Be encouraged by Jesus. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Why do you do anything as a Christian? You should do it because Jesus Christ loves you, and because you know that he does, and that you appreciate the sacrifice that he made, you appreciate the sacrifice the Father made, that you come in and you say, thank you, Lord Jesus. What can I do for you? What is it that I can do to help in your work? That should be every Christian's attitude, and that is the idea of looking to Jesus. When I consider sin in my life, if I consider Jesus, is it going to make sin that much easier to overcome? It should. When we consider what Jesus went through, should we be willing to endure a little hardship in our life? Should we be willing to maybe put out an extra effort every once in a while? Of course we should, because what would Jesus do? He would do those things. So this morning, we're going to focus on Jesus. Because there's one other aspect I think that we have to be careful of, and that is this. I think we can think of ourselves as converted to the right kind of Christianity. That we're the right church, and we've got the right doctrine, and we're doing the right thing. And those things are terribly, terribly important. But they are not our Savior. Jesus is our Savior. And it is Him who we praise. It is Him who we remember. It is Him who we honor with our name. We are Christians. This church is a church of Jesus Christ. Our focus should be on Jesus. And why is that? Because Jesus does something unique. Jesus gives eternal life. I'm behind on my clicking. My apologies. There we go. John chapter 3 and verse 16. Why should we look to Jesus? Because in Him we have eternal life. We will not be destroyed. We don't have fear of death. Because Jesus rose from the grave, we will believe we will be raised. because Jesus gave his sinless blood on the cross, I believe I can be forgiven. I believe I can stand right before God. And I know that God loves me, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Is that true for you? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe that he's the Messiah? Do you believe he's King? Do you believe he was raised from the dead? Do you believe it is God who sent his Son to shed that blood that Scott talked about in his Lord's Supper talk, more precious than gold, more precious than anything in this earth, is the power of Jesus' blood to forgive our sins. That should be our focus. When we focus on those things, we should be grateful, for we have such a great salvation and such a great Savior. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of John in chapter 6. John chapter 6. We're going to be in John a little bit this morning. And I wanted to take and look at an idea of why we should focus on Jesus. Look at chapter 6 and verse 40. John chapter 6 and verse 40. There we go. Jesus here is busy making the Pharisees and Sadducees crazy, because he says that you have to eat of my flesh if you want eternal life. Well, that kind of cannibalism idea would rightfully make any religious person kind of lose their mind. So Jesus just keeps pushing them and just keeps pushing them. And listen to what he says in verse 40. John chapter 6 and verse 40. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Never forget that's why we're here. Our faith in Jesus Christ. If I don't have faith in Jesus Christ, if my faith is in being a member of this congregation, or being a member of a congregation that's growing, or being a member of a congregation that's capable of building a building, that's not why we're here. We're here because of Jesus. Those other things are just a means to an end. Those other things just are building a bigger pen for the sheep, and praise God that we can do so. But they're about Jesus. Everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day. Look down a couple of verses to verse 47. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. And finally, verse 51. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. We just took part in the Lord's Supper. The sinless body of Jesus was crucified on a cross. Why does it matter that Jesus had no sin? Because there was no accusation to be made against him. There was no wrong that he needed to be punished for. There was no reason he should leave heaven. There was no reason he should be debased. He could have stopped it all. Yet he did it. Why? Because I needed eternal life. We will live for eternity. All people will live for eternity. It's just a matter of where you live eternally. Will it be in eternal life or eternal destruction? You make the decision. Jesus said, I gave my flesh so that you may have eternal life. Is that important to you? Do you think of heaven on a daily basis? Do you think of the fact that Jesus was good enough to sacrifice himself on the cross that I could live forever in peace and in wonder and in glory with Jehovah God? That's what we're converted to. That's Jesus Christ. That is Christianity. That is who we are. Well, I want to ask a question. We'll come back to John in just a minute. I want to take a quick detour into the book of Acts. Do we know Jesus or believe in him? Do we know Jesus or believe in him? Are we converted to Jesus or to simply obeying? I think these are big questions. There's a difference between reading my Bible and saying, oh, I can read and see where this Jesus came to this earth. There's a difference between saying, oh, I can see, I can read in my Bible and see, if I want to be right before God, I need to be baptized. That's great. But is that faith in Christ? Or is that just knowing about Christ? I think sometimes when we struggle as Christians, it's because maybe we just have this idea that we know who Jesus is. We agree that that is who Jesus is, but we don't really believe in Jesus. Do you trust Jesus? Do you trust Him so much that if He says to do something, you will do it? There's a difference between just knowing that there is a Jesus and having kind of a mental assent that, oh, I agree that Jesus was raised from the dead. There's a difference between that and living your life like you know you're going to heaven. Living your life like you know you have eternal life. Are you confident in those things? That's where faith comes in. Just knowing about Jesus, the Pharisees and Sadducees, they knew about Jesus. Many people would be taught the word. They're going to know about Jesus. But do they have faith in Jesus? Are they willing to crucify everything in their life that is not like Christ's life? Am I willing to come to Jesus and say, Lord, not my will, but yours be done? The difference there is this. If I don't have faith in Christ, I'll never make that leap. I'll struggle around here because I know. I might know I should obey. I might know that I should do the right thing. But if I don't truly have faith that it's going to be okay, truly have faith that Jesus can give me eternal life, truly have faith that I'm going to heaven, I'm going to struggle. And I'm going to be weighed down by sin. Remember the text from the beginning of our lesson, Hebrews chapter 12. The sin that so easily besets us. Get rid of that. How? Trust and look to Jesus. Focus on Jesus. Well, making disciples is about preaching Jesus Christ as Lord. When I'm talking about someone who has faith in Jesus Christ, I'm talking about somebody who does something more than just read in the Bible that Jesus is real. He's willing to do something. He's willing to change his life. He's willing to become a disciple. And that's what we're talking about. Those who have true faith follow Jesus Christ. If you're in your Bibles in Acts chapter 14, let me get over there with you. I want you to notice that how is it that disciples are made? How are disciples made? Acts chapter 14 and verse 21. It says, when they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Committed them to the Lord. Handed them over to Christ. That's a matter of faith. Are you willing to say to your children, I will hand you over to someone as a guardian? That would be an important step, wouldn't it? You wouldn't make that lightly. You wouldn't do that with someone you just met. You'd have to have real trust in that kind of a person to hand them over. Well, Paul here is handing over babes in Christ to Jesus. How did they become disciples? They preached unto them the gospel. When they preached the gospel in that city and it made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch. The only way you make a Christian is preaching the cross. You don't make a Christian by building a building. You don't make a Christian by having elders. You don't make a Christian by having a preacher. You don't make a Christian by doing the right thing as far as the organization of the church is concerned. You make Christians because you preach the blood-bought gospel. And it changes their hearts. And because they want to follow Jesus. Now, you may not have noticed it, but that phrase there, wants to follow Jesus, is in that text. It's not used in the same words, but twice the word disciple is used. A disciple is a follower, a learner, someone who gives their will and they let their right or wrong decisions be made by someone else. That's what being a Christian is about. Give yourself to Jesus. Know that what He asks is not difficult. Know that what He asks will bring peace. Know that what He asks you to remove will remove evil from your life. Ask that what you add to He asks you to add to your life will add spirit to your life. And grow and blossom and bear fruit because you follow the Son of God through the Spirit of God. That's Christianity. That's moving in a spiritual plane. That's not down here worried about these everyday aspects of life. Jesus tells us tomorrow will worry about its own things. Worry about today. Gentiles worry about what they will eat or what they will wear. Christians worry about Jesus, and we focus on Him. People need Jesus. They need to hear Jesus. They need to hear the gospel. That's how disciples are made. That's how followers are made. That's not how wet people are made. People can be made wet. Jesus wants followers. Jesus wants people who will act on their great faith and who will follow Him. Stay in the book of Acts and go back a couple of chapters to chapter 11. Acts chapter 11, verse 20 through 21. I want you to notice the gospel that's preached here. But there were some of them, they're talking about the idea of the church at Antioch, but there were some of them who came to this church, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists, also preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. Preaching the Lord Jesus. I told you before, there's a radio station in Hopkinsville whose letters are WNKJ, and they have the slogan that says, "The world needs King Jesus." Well, amen to that. That's how these men made disciples. That's how these men made Christians. They preached the Lord Jesus. Jesus has been given all authority in heaven and on earth. He has a kingdom. How am I serving in it today? My faith in Jesus Christ, my confidence in Jesus Christ, my trust in Jesus Christ, my trust that knowing that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation will lead me to teach others that they need to believe in Jesus and they need to submit to Jesus. Because those who submit to Jesus and obey Him in faith have eternal life. Not will have. Have. Have you ever wondered why it's called the good news? If you're afraid of dying, it's not good news, really, is it? Did you ever think of that? If you're scared to death of the judgment day, how is what's been preached to you good news? It can't be. Unless you know you're in rebellion to God. If I'm in submission to Jesus Christ, then the gospel is great news. The gospel is that I have eternal life. The gospel is that I'm going to heaven. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It is not a question. I will pass from judgment to life. Now, I hope I got your attention. Because that last phrase may be a little strange to your ears. But that's what Jesus tells us in John chapter 5. Told you we'd be back in John in a minute. Turn over there to chapter 5 and verse 24. I love this phrase. I love this teaching so much because it helped me understand. It helped me to have joy. It helped me to understand what the good news of Jesus Christ was really about. Do you realize, Christian, that you stand in grace? Do you realize that you are forgiven? When you come into a right relationship with Jesus Christ, a right relationship with God, when you repent and are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, that brings you into a situation where you have the forgiveness of sins. It's God who decides who He will forgive. It's Jesus who will forgive. And God has decided that He will forgive those who serve His Son in faith. So if I'm serving the Son in faith, I have eternal life. Look at John chapter 5 and verse 24. John chapter 25 and verse 24. Excuse me, John chapter 5, verse 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, when Jesus says that to King James of it is verily, verily, He's saying, listen to me. This is a true statement. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes Him who sent me has eternal life. Is that the fourth time I think we've read that phrase this morning? Has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. What does that mean? Does it mean we won't see the judgment day? No, we'll see the judgment day, but we will not be judged. Because here's the big secret. We're all guilty. If we were all to go to the judgment day and have to rely on being judged, we are all going to hell. But those who believe in Jesus Christ, Jesus himself says, you've passed from death to life. You've passed from death to life. What does that mean? Look at verse 28. Verse 28 of the same chapter. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. Now, first of all, this is the judgment day that Jesus is referring to. This is the second coming that we'll study tonight. This is the resurrection. This is the judgment day. All who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life. Those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. You notice he doesn't say life and death. He doesn't say life or death. He says life or judgment. If the option is or judgment, I'm not going to be judged. I'm going to live. What does that mean? This is not some strange doctrine. When I become a Christian, I stand in grace. When I become a Christian, my sins are forgiven. When I become a Christian, I don't fear death anymore. I have a Savior who's overcome death, Jesus Christ the righteous. I have blood that forgives my sins through Jesus Christ. I'm no longer a sinner. I'm made clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. My robes have been washed and are white. And I'm ready to go meet the Lord. Not because I deserve it, not because I'm right, not because I'm worthy of being judged. Don't miss this point today. If you think you're going to go to the judgment day and you're going to have done all the right things and you're going to say to God, well, God, I have read the Bible and I have done all the things. I've attended worship every first day of the week. I took the Lord's Supper. We sang a cappella. I did all the things. Lord, you got to let me in. No. He is in heaven and I am on earth. I need to let my words be few. Because if I have to stand before God and equate my life with His holiness, I'm going to fall short, and I'm going to fall way short. What I am is guilty, but forgiven. And if I've forgiven, I stand in grace. And I stand in grace as long as I have faith and focus on Jesus Christ, my Lord and King. As long as I live that life, as long as I live my life one day at a time asking Him, Lord, what can I do today for you? How can I better your kingdom? How can I expand your kingdom? How can I tell others about Jesus? If I'm living that life, I have no fear of death. I have no fear of judgment. Take a look at Revelation chapter 20 for just a moment. Just to put a button on what Jesus says here. When I say to you that we will not come into judgment, I'm not saying that we won't see the judgment day. Every human being who's ever lived will see the judgment day. For it is given to man once to die, then the judgment, Hebrews chapter 9. But we won't be judged because we won't stand up. So if we can't stand up to being judged, something else must occur. Something else must occur. And that other thing that must occur involves where my name is written. Take a look at verse 12 of Revelation chapter 20. That's where we'll begin our text. Verse 12 of Revelation chapter 20. I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. This is the final scene. This is the judgment day. This is the resurrection. The books here, most people think to understand, are the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, the Old Testament and New Testament, the law that was applicable to man from the beginning, whatever those things were. And if we all have to stand before those and be judged, we will all fall short. But notice, there's another book that is opened. I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they'd done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in it. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. Now, preacher, it says right there we're going to be judged. I haven't read the last verse to you yet. depending upon where your name is written, you will be judged. And I will tell you, that is a fearful thing, to fall into the hands of a just God who was just to destroy this world, who allowed this rebellious world to live, who gave His Son for this rebellious world. And if you go to God and you say, thank you for giving your Son on the cross, but I didn't bother with that. I didn't need to hear about Jesus. I didn't want Him in my life. I won't submit to Jesus Christ. You can't tell me what to do. No man is my Lord. You go to the judgment day with that. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Read that backwards. Everybody was thrown into the lake of fire except those whose names were written in the Lamb's book of life. Jesus says, if you believe that I am He, if you believe in who sent me, Jesus says, if you're born again of water and the Spirit, if you come follow Him, He will give you peace and He will give you rest and He will write your name in the Lamb's book of life, and from which it cannot be removed by any man. Because the wages of my life are judgment, but the free gift of God is eternal life for those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Whose Lamb? God's Lamb. Who is the Lamb? Jesus. Do you believe? Do you believe the things that I've just said to you are true? Do you believe them enough to change your life? Do you believe them enough to commit yourselves to them? Do you believe yourself enough to say, yes, Jesus, I will serve you. Thank you, Lord God, for giving your Son on the cross. What can I do every day? If that's the faith you have, then you can overcome difficulty. You can remove sin from your life. Because Jesus is with you. The Spirit is with the baptized Christian. The Spirit comes, was given as a gift when we have our sins forgiven. Our vessel is cleansed so that God may come and live with us. Once you stand in that grace, God helps you, helps strengthen you from the inside, helps you from the outside with the Word, helps you from the outside with fellow Christians, has given us the church as a blessing and a glory that we may all be built up into one another to become living stones to our God. Give yourself fully to that. Don't hesitate. Don't be a halfway Christian. Don't be, I'm just trying to hear, trying to do enough. Wake up every day and say, Lord Jesus, not my will, but yours be done. What can I do? As we go through the year 2025, I think there are going to be terribly exciting things that are going to happen. It almost makes me giddy thinking about them. We're so blessed. Thank you, Lord. But never forget to put Jesus at the front of it. Let everything we do be done with the mind that we are glorifying God, that we are glorifying Jesus, that we are building them up. It is not for us. It's to extend the kingdom of Jesus Christ. I'll give you the invitation this way. You've heard me paraphrase this many times. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Jesus says, all authority has been given to me on heaven and on earth. What's He saying? He says, I'm the Lord Jesus. Remember, that's what they preached in Antioch. They preached the King, Lord Jesus. Jesus says, I'm a king. I have a kingdom. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Go and bring citizens into my kingdom. Bring servants into my kingdom. Then give them the oath of office, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then teach them what I told you. Jesus tells us to observe everything He's taught us, and He'll be with us even to the end of the age. Jesus, Jesus, how I love Him. We're going to sing this wonderful little song in just a second. I want you to think about it, and I want you to sing with all your heart, and I want you to know that the words in this song are the gospel of Jesus Christ. He loves us, He loves us, He loves us. Do I love Him? Have I given myself to Him? Do I trust in Him? Put your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Endure the shame of the cross for my forgiveness so I can go to heaven. My name is in the book of life. If your name is not, please come forward as we stand and we sing.